All right, so as you shared what you wanted to be when you grow up, how many heard someone say, especially ladies, that they wanted to be a princess when they grew up? Did anybody have to say a princess? How about astronaut? Anybody want to be an astronaut? Yeah! All right, I see a few hands there. Good. About a year ago, Wendy and I were in a play, and one of our fellow cast members had been going through a particularly rough stretch of life, and we were just, I never forget, we were kind of walking over by the Pella Opera House, and we were talking about how all that was happening in her life, and I said, you know, do you ever think about that you know, what you had dreamed and wanted for your life has not come to be what your life is? And she said something very interesting. She said, you know, I have struggled with that, but she said, about a year ago, I started going around, and whenever I would talk to a friend or family member who I knew, I would ask them this question: does your life look like you thought it would look like when you were growing up? And she said, not one person said yes. She goes, so I figure I'm just like everybody else. I go, oh, that's a pretty good perspective, and I've really been chewing on that since we had that conversation, because that's the reality. Very, very few people's life turns out as they envisioned it. You know, when I was younger, I'll let you in on this, one of the things that I wanted to be is I wanted to be a motivational speaker. You know, it's like I want to be one of those guys that wrote books, you know, and travels the country and speaks to large crowds, and you know, and it's, which is funny now, because all I can think about is Chris Farley in Saturday Night Live. My name's Fat Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. So here I am in Pella, and I'm not a motivational speaker, but that's okay. So we're going to think today a little bit about God's calling and purpose for our lives, and we're going to finish up a series of messages that we've been going through called David Medium Rare. If I got the first slide, please. I want to catch everybody up so that we can get started off on the right foot. If you haven't been attending the services here in the auditorium, let me just give you a quick catch-up. Keith had this vision for us in this room, those of us who are part of the auditorium services. And if we'll go back to last week first. Let's go down to last, the vision. Keith has talked to us about becoming an Ephesians 4 church, a group of believers in this building, in this auditorium. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And when he lists those, he's talking about spiritual gifts that God gives to people to do these particular tasks, being evangelists and teachers and pastors, to equip his people, that's you and me, for works of service. So it's being equipped so that we might go and do works of service so that the body of Christ, that's us, may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the vision is this. We've got people using their giftedness to equip us to go out and do what God has called us to do every day as we're doing our lives, so that we will become mature and understand the fullness of Christ. That's the vision. That's what we want to be in this room. All right? So to do that, Keith started late last spring, with the focus of the chain reaction of praise. Okay? So he said, here's how we're going to start this. We're going to make it actionable. We're going to learn to praise God in every circumstance so that it will activate our faith, that we may pray powerful prayers, that's P3, that we could overcome evil, and then be prepared to live and reign with Christ. So the start of this whole thing was, here's the first action item. We're gonna praise God, because Scripture says that God inhabits the praise of his people. We want God to inhabit us and inhabit this room and inhabit what's happening in this room. So we're going to begin by learning to praise God in every circumstance. And I don't know about you, but since we started this whole process, Wendy and I have experienced a handful of some of the most difficult moments in this last summer, where all of a sudden it feels like life has just fallen apart or the rug's been pulled out from under us. And immediately I think, I've got to praise God. I've got to praise God. I remember the chain reaction of praise. Okay, I'm going to praise God in the midst of what's happening right now. And guess what? It helped me to activate my faith. Okay, I got to believe that God is going to work through this. So that's what we've been working on. Our example has been David. And so the rest of the summer, we've been doing this series called David Medium Rare, learning about King David in the Old Testament, because his entire life was an example of putting God first and praising God in every situation. And I got to start the series, and today I get to finish the series. So I'm the beginning and the end here, and I'm going to try and wrap things up. And David, from beginning when he was called as a little kid, now to we're going to talk about David when he was at the end of his life. And the interesting thing is that David, man, he had success. He was a warrior. He was God, man after God's own heart. He killed Goliath. He became famous. They sang songs about him. He was a warrior. He was a man's man. He had victory after victory after victory. He united the people. He became the king that God had called him to be. He built palaces and united the separated tribes of Israel. I mean, he was on a roll and had everything he wanted to do, he had done. Everything that God had called him to do had been accomplished. But David had this one desire. Go ahead and let's go to the next slide. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, after David was settled in his palace, now I've achieved all I've got here. The Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him. So he says later in his life, okay, he's getting to be an old man now. And he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a house of cedar while the Ark of God, remember Raiders of the Lost Ark, the gold box? The Ark of God was an actual piece of reliquary that God had told the Israelites to build that became sort of a symbol, a metaphor of his presence. Well, the Ark of God was sitting in a tent on Mount Gilboa, had no home for it. And David said, I want to build a house. I want to build a temple to bring the Ark of God and give it its resting place here in Jerusalem in the capital city. And initially, Nathan said, well, David, everything else you've done, you've succeeded at, so go ahead. But that night, Nathan had a dream. So let's go to the next slide. The word of the Lord came to Nathan. It says, this is what the Lord said. I took you, David, from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone. I've cut off all your enemies before you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who is to build a house for my name. In other words, David, I didn't call you to build a house for me. You were to be my warrior. And in fact, when David relates this story to Solomon, he says, God basically said, look, I'm a warrior. I've shed blood. My whole life, I've killed people. And it's not for me to build the house of the Lord. So God had a role for David to play, and he had a role for his son Solomon to play. So now it's very interesting because God is saying, David, you don't get to do what's your desire to do. And believe me, it was David's desire. He had hired designers. He had amassed building materials. He was ready. He was going to do this thing. And God said, no. So what was David's response? Immediately after Nathan finishes with him, let's go to the next slide, verses 4 through 17. Next slide, please. David said this, and I'm taking excerpts here, so you can go read the whole thing if you'd like. Who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you've brought me this far? How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you've made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Do you see the chain reaction of praise? As soon as God says, no, David, you don't get to do what you want to do. David says, praise you, God. Okay, fine. You're God, I'm not. Put it in your hands. I want you to be praised forever. And if it's not for me to build your house, I want nothing to do with it. So now, even in later in life, we see David living out the chain reaction of praise. God, I want what you want, not what I want. I find it really fascinating that David was that humble and willing to be an example. So here's how this applies to us. As we're trying to be this Ephesians 4 church, God prepares us, and he uses the metaphor of a body. God uses us, and he gives each of us, everybody who accepts Christ, invites God into their heart and life, God's Spirit comes into them, and he gives us gifts and callings so that the whole body will work together to achieve God's purpose and calling. So some of us, Paul said, some of us are an eye, some of us are a foot, some of us are a little pinky, some of us are a nose, some of us are an ear, and we've got to do what we're gifted and called to do, or the body doesn't function. If the eye tries to be an ear, it doesn't work. Okay. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Next slide, please. Look at this. Now to each one, each person who comes to Christ, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There's it, built up, all right? To one there is through the Spirit a message of wisdom, another message of knowledge by the means of the Spirit, faith by some Spirit, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, all of these different things that people are gifted to do. These are the different types. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. Not about what I want to do, it's what about God's Spirit has gifted and called me to do to be the function I need to be in the body of Christ so that the body will work together. And I love the way Romans says it in the King James Version. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God has called and gifted us each to do the job, and God doesn't take it back. So how does this apply? First week that in this series, I shared a story about how God, as a young man, called me to proclaim his word, and how God used that when I was a young man. So here I was this young man, and God had called me to proclaim his word. So I thought I was going to become Matt Foley. I'm going to go out and proclaim God's word, you know. I'm going to speak and write books and speak the masses and do this great thing. And I remember I had this mentor who sat me down, I'll never forget, I was on Merle Hay Road and Douglas there at the Wendy's. We were having a hamburger for lunch, and he'd been a mentor to me. And he said, have you ever thought about going into business? And I said, business? No way! I'm going to be a motivational speaker! I'm going to go into ministry! You don't get it! My dad's a CPA! That's boring! I'm going to do this business now? Are you crazy? So, long story short, I was about 25 years old, and there was this up-and-coming Christian speaker. Had just published his first book with Focus on the Family, doing radio interviews, starting to become a big dude in the Christian circles, right? And I met this guy, and I was given the opportunity to come and work for him. And I'm like going, yeah, this is God's call. Yeah, I'm going to hitch my wagon to that trailer, you know? So, I was so desirous of getting in on the action with this that I agreed to raise half of my salary in support. I went out, did fundraising, and I talked to family and friends and said, hey, if you give me $50 a month, you know, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm going to do, and I did it. Raised half my salary and support, and so here I go, and I'm now all of a sudden I'm being the advanced man, and I'm traveling, and I'm meeting all these people and doing all these things. Well, something really interesting happened. It was a disastrous year. And I remember one day sitting, and I was at this big rally thing, and I'm with all of these famous speakers and writers and standing back there, you know, doing my thing, helping set things up. And I remember it hit me. I don't like these people. I don't like this life. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't want anything to do with this. So my year was up, and I said, God, I thought you would, this is what I wanted. This is what you were calling me. You want me to proclaim your word. So I decided I'm not going to do this. I'm going to quit. So I remember calling my supporters, saying, don't send your check. I'm done. Well, one of my supporters was my old mentor from back at Wendy's. And I called and said, his name was Chuck. I said, Chuck, don't send the check next week. He said, why? I said, I'm quitting. You're quitting? I thought this is what you were. Yeah, I'm quitting. He said, what are you going to do? I'm going to live in a van down by the river. I don't know. He goes, are you really quitting? I said, yeah, I mean, I think so. He said, make a decision and call me back. So I hung up the phone and I thought about it and prayed about it. I said, yeah, I'm quitting. I have no idea what it was. So I called him back and said, yeah, I'm really quitting. And he goes, I want to meet with you at 2 o'clock. So we met at the Village Inn, West Des Moines at 2 o'clock. And he said, so I have this business. And if you want a job, he goes, I don't think I have one. Said, I don't really have enough work for you right now, but if you will come and do this and have some faith, I believe that within a year, I will have a full-time job for you. So it may mean you have to take some odd jobs to get started, but I think this is, I've got a job for you. So remember praying about this and like going, God, this is not what I want to do. This is not where I'm going. This is not what you called me to do. And I'm praying about it. I'm in my little Volkswagen Fox. I'm driving into my driveway on Merle Hay Road. And God's Spirit spoke to me. It's one of the handful of times in my life where God's Spirit has just really spoke to me in my heart very clearly. And I heard the word of the Lord in my heart say, take this job, stick with it, and you will be blessed. So here I go. I was at the Disney Institute a few years later, and if you've never been to the Disney Institute, business people from all over the world come and they spend a week at Disney World, and Disney talks about how you do business, and they teach people how to do all these different things, talk about mission and vision and all these things. So I'm in this room with all these high-powered CEOs and business leaders from around the world and companies that you'd heard of, and I remember the speaker said, all right, one morning he said, okay, who can stand up and tell me from heart your company's mission statement? And all these CEOs and CFOs and COOs are looking around each other, and I raised my hand. He goes, yeah, see that hand? Sit up. Seewinger Group designs and implements customer-centered systems to measure and enhance service quality. By applying the principles of God's word to our lives and to our work, we become examples of servant leadership and integrity, bring measurable value to our clients, and profitably build our business. That's our business. It's 20 years ago, July. This last week, I sat with this young guy that he's a CSO. So one of the things that I do is I listen to phone calls. You're calling me to monitor to ensure quality service. I do that. It's really boring, actually. But you listen and you analyze what's going on, and then you sit down with people and say, okay, here's how you can improve. So I've got this one guy named Mark, and Mark, he talks and he talks and he talks and he talks, and the more he talks, the more stupid stuff he says. And I'm listening to these calls. I'm going, oh, Mark, what are you talking about? So you know what I talked to Mark? I said, Mark, where words are many, sin is not absent. I'm sitting here applying the principles of God's word. I had another guy named Jesse. Jesse's an up-and-comer in this business, and he started out, and he's getting promotions, and he's being this big side. And I've been noticing that the bigger he rises the company and the bigger name he gets around the company, he's losing his professionalism. I can do anything. I can say anything I want. So all of a sudden, I'm listening to his calls. He's dropping F-bombs with customers and coworkers. And I said, you know, Jesse, A good name is better than great riches. And let me just tell you, the lack of professionalism that I'm hearing in your calls is going to come back to haunt you. You may think that you're doing good and making all the money and rising the company, but if you keep being unprofessional like this, you're going to hit the glass ceiling really, really fast. So I get the opportunity to talk to people and to share God's word and help them in their lives. And some, you know, all from frontline workers. And my friend Joel's a CEO. And he's completely alone. He doesn't have a friend in the world. So we've been meeting together, talking, having lunch together. So I have this opportunity to minister to people in business. 20 years. Next slide, please. See, here's the thing. When we mistake our desires for God's gifts and callings, we become an obstruction. Now, the guy, the motivational speaker that I work for, God's got his gifts and calling for him, and he's doing his thing, and praise God, and God's using him and doing his things. But I was not called to be part of that ministry, be part of his work. And while I was an obstruction to him, he was an obstruction to me, things just weren't working. When we refuse to follow God's call or use our gifts, we hurt ourselves. I'm going to do this. I don't care, God, I'm going to do this. And the whole time, our lives aren't working. Things are incongruent. We feel this things just, life isn't coming together. When we place our desire ahead of God's desire, it is counterproductive. So this morning, there are some of us in this room who have been striving after what we desire, we want God to do through us. When God's kind of going, no, that's not what you're called to do. Some of us in this room are refusing. Some of us in this room, we don't even know. God, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. You're part of this body. You have a gift and a calling, and if you don't use that gift, if you continue to refuse to seek it out, then you're going to not only be hurting yourselves, but it's going to be counterproductive to what we're trying to do in this room as we let God create an Ephesians 4 church through us. Some of us are placing our desire ahead of God's desire. God, I'll do that just as soon as I do this. So as we finish up our series of David, I want us to finish with this example of David. That even in the very end, even though God had accomplished so much through him, David still had this one thing that he wanted to do. And God said no. And David said, praise God. Do as you promised. So what do we do with this? Last slide, please. Ask. If you don't know what your gift and calling is, or maybe you're confused about it, or maybe you feel like you've been chasing after it, but it's just not working, ask. Ask wise, mature people like my mentor, who even as a young man, he had this sense that what I wanted to do was not what God was calling me to do. He knew me well, and he was a wise man, and he was a man of prayer, and he could see what God's calling was for me. And he tried to tell me, and I refused to listen. So ask. Find those wise and mature believers that know you well and say, what do you see in my life? What do you see as my gifts? Where do you see God calling me? And then listen and be willing to open your heart to what God might be speaking through them. Seek. Pray. Seek God. God, what is it? What have you gifted me with? What are you calling me to? Because when you seek after him with your whole heart, you will find him. And then knock. Sometimes opportunities open up for us and we kind of go, oh, but no, that's not what I'm called to do. That's not what I don't want to do that. And here God's opening up these doors and opening up these doors, giving you opportunities. And sometimes we just need to take that opportunity when it knocks. I have so many friends that have had this experience of sitting around God, waiting for God to open the door, waiting for God to call me, waiting for God to show me. And there's just all of these opportunities staring him right in the face. One of the examples I used with my daughters when they were young is we have this wave runner at the lake, right? Jet ski. And the thing about the jet ski is you can only steer it when it's moving forward, right? When you hit the throttle and it's moving forward, then you can steer it and bring it. But if you let off the throttle and there is no water going through the engine, you can go like this, boom, 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 and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't steer. And I found life to be like that. God doesn't steer a sitting object. So move. Take the opportunity. Start moving in a direction. If God doesn't want you there, the door will shut and another door will open. But don't just sit there. Let's pray.